Matthew chapter 8, first of all. Verse 1. When he, the Lord Jesus, was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Verse 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. And he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto them. And when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now when Jesus saw the great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart to the other side. Chapter 9, verse 1. And he entered into a ship, and passed over, and came into his own city. He'd been across, and he's come back. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their face, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Whither think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is it easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thy house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. And as Jesus passed forth from thence, he saw a man named Matthew, sitting at the receipt of custom, and he said to him, Follow me. And he arose and followed him. Now, the subject this morning or afternoon might be a little bit unusual, but I trust it will be helpful. We're going to talk about New Testament miracles. New Testament miracles. In Matthew chapters 8 and 9, Matthew groups together 10 miracles. I don't think they're in chronological order, but they're collected together to demonstrate that the Lord Jesus did everything with great power and great authority. We read this, Jesus said, that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power, hath authority on earth to forgive sins. He saith to the sick of the palsy in chapter 9, Rise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house. And he arose and departed to his house. The great power and authority of the Lord Jesus. It's interesting as well that at the end of chapter 7, after the Lord had given the great Sermon on the Mount, it says this, that the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority. So everything that the Lord did, he did it with great power and with great authority. The Lord Jesus carried out a vast number of miracles on earth, and most of them were miracles of healing. And in chapters 8 and 9, as I said, he describes 10 miracles. I think Matthew gives us another 10 miracles. And the other Gospels also give us round about 10 or slightly more. Perhaps most of them are in John, some other different miracles. So at least we know that the Lord performed more than 30 miracles when he was here upon this earth. But he obviously did far more. The Lord Jesus must have done many, many other miracles when he was on earth. And here are some references. Matthew seems to highlight the miracles that he did. Chapter 4, he said, says this, that Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching and preaching and healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of diseases among the people. We read in chapter 8, when even was come, they brought to him many possessed of demons, and he cast out spirits and healed all that were sick. Chapter 12, great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. Chapter 15, great multitudes came, those that were lame, blind, dumb, maimed, and many others. And the multitude wondered when they saw the dumb speak, the maimed made whole, and the lame to walk, and the blind to see. During his relatively short life on earth, the Lord Jesus must have performed hundreds, if not thousands, of miracles. And the question that came up in my mind was this, why did the Lord perform so many miracles? And what was the purpose and the importance of the Lord's miracles in particular? I'm going to think of that first of all. And then we'll perhaps think a little bit about miracles in the book of the Acts. Why did the Lord perform miracles? Well, he certainly did not perform miracles to attract people to himself. So often, after the Lord had performed a miracle, he would tell the leper or whatever not to go and spread it abroad. Sometimes they did, And when they did, it seemed to hinder the work of the Lord. The Lord Jesus never performed a miracle in order to attract people to himself. The Lord did ask people to follow him. We read that about Matthew, and they did follow him. But they did not follow him. The genuine people did not follow him because of the miracles. Secondly, the Lord never used miracles to bring men and women to salvation and spiritual blessing. Remember at the beginning of the Lord's ministry, John tells us this, that many followed when they saw the miracles. But Jesus did not commit himself to them because he knew all men and he knew what was in man. And when someone received a spiritual blessing from the Lord Jesus, what is always emphasized is the faith of the person involved. Jesus, seeing their faith, we read in Matthew chapter 9, said to the sick of the palsy, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." And this is something which I think is quite important, that all through our Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, all God's spiritual blessings come to us on the principle of faith and nothing else. The Pharisees asked a sign from the Lord. They asked a miracle. And he called them an evil and adulterous generation. And he mentioned the great miracle of the resurrection, and they did not believe. So faith is so important in our Christian experience. We initially come to the Lord in simple faith, and faith grows, it grows stronger. Faith is so vital for every believer. I was looking through a great book by Robert Anderson, The Gospel and Its Ministry, well worth reading. And on the subject of faith, he said this. He says, "Faith is the reception, as true, what is beyond the range of proof, either by demonstration or by evidence." And he quotes that great verse in Hebrews chapter 11. "It is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." The great importance of faith, the Christian faith. All God's spiritual blessings come to us on the principle of faith. And the Lord never used miracles to bring men and women into spiritual blessings. Why then did the Lord perform so many miracles? Well, there are a number of reasons. He did so to relieve human suffering and misery and distress. The vast majority of the Lord's miracles, as we've already said, are miracles of healing. And he showed compassion, he showed mercy on suffering, and he removed the misery wherever he came into contact with it. The Lord of life could never come face to face with human need and fail to meet it. Every time he came into contact with somebody in need, whatever it was, he met it. Suffering and death could not exist in his presence. You remember the famous case of Lazarus died, and poor Martha and poor Mary, they were so distressed. And remember the words that each of them said to the Lord. They said, "Lord, if you had been here, if you had been here, my brother had not died." And our God is still concerned with the temporal and physical well-being of his creatures. Another reason why the Lord performed miracles was to destroy the works of Satan. And we read an example of that. John in his epistle says this, "The Son of God was manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil." Many examples in the Gospels we have of the Lord Jesus casting out evil spirits and demons. Chapter 8, verse 28, "The Lord deliberately crossed the lake of Galilee, and there across on the other side of the lake there were two men, demon-possessed, exceeding fierce, says our Bible, violent, and nobody could tame them. And the Lord destroyed the work of Satan in them. Another thing about the miracles, and I think this is quite important for all of us really, is that the miracles very effectively illustrate the message of salvation. The miracles were very often like sermons in action. You remember in John's Gospel, chapter 6, John describes the Lord feeding 5,000 people. He did it with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And then later on in the chapter, John discusses the subject of the bread of life. And the Lord Jesus said this, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst." The truth of the words illustrated in his earlier miracle by the people. And that is something that we all enjoy. I'm sure all of us who do a little bit of preaching as preach the gospel on some of the miracles of the Lord Jesus, and it can be done very, very effectively. For a number of reasons, it demonstrates the help. These miracles that the Lord performed demonstrate the helplessness of man, men and women, on their own to cure their illness. It demonstrates the willingness of the Lord Jesus to help in their time of need. It demonstrates the importance of faith and the immediate result. And the perfection of the cure. And that is almost a summary of the message of the gospel. So we very, very rightly use these miracles almost as sermons in action to preach the message of the gospel. But most of all, and most important of all, the miracles gave credit and authority to who Jesus of Nazareth was. He was the promised Messiah of Israel. And there should have been no doubt on the part of those who saw him, the leaders of the nation, that Jesus of Nazareth was the promised Messiah when they saw all the great miracles that he did. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 16, 17, we read this, "He healed all that were sick." Why? "That it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, himself took our infirmities, bare our sicknesses." A prophecy about what the Lord Jesus would do when he came here. And there are many of them in the Old Testament. "Your God will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened," says Isaiah. "The ears of the deaf unstopped. The lame will leap as a hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing." Demonstrating that the man on earth at that particular time was the promised Messiah of Israel. It was a very sad occasion in the New Testament. Remember John the Baptist. He was put in prison. He was put in prison for his courage. He was put in prison for his honesty. And he was put in prison for his faithfulness. And John, that great man, the Lord said about him, he was the greatest of the prophets. And his faith failed. You know, there's something encouraging about that, isn't there? How often has our faith failed? And this great man, John the Baptist, his faith failed. He sent 2 of his disciples to the Lord Jesus, and to see who he really was. And the Lord said to them, "Kindly, go show John the things that you see and the things that you hear. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk, and the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead raised, and the poor has the gospel preached to them." Remember also Peter preaching in Acts chapter 2, He said this, he says, ye men of Israel, hear the words of Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you. And how were they, how was he approved? By miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you all. So miracles gave credit and authority to who Jesus of Nazareth was. Something very, very important about the miracles of the Lord Jesus. What about the miracles in the early church? Many of them are described in the book of the Acts, as we know. They're carried out mainly by Peter in the earlier part of the book of the Acts, and later by Paul. Even in the very last chapter of the book of the Acts, Paul, along with 275 others, you remember they were shipwrecked on Malta, and the governor Publius treated them with great care and with great kindness. And we're told this, that Publius' father was sick of a fever, and Paul healed him. And the others also who had diseases on the island came and were healed. So right to the very end of the book of the Acts, we find that miracles were performed there as well. And these miracles were not carried out by the power of the apostles or whoever did it. These miracles could only be performed if they were carried out in the name of the Lord and with his power and authority. There was a time when the disciples tried to cast out some demons, tried to perform some miracle, and they failed. They were trying to do it on their own. It could only be done in the name of the Lord and with his power and authority. Two things I think are worth remembering about the miracles in the early church, and it is this. The early church, the people were saved again by the preaching of the gospel, not by the results of the miracles. Sometimes the preaching of the gospel was accompanied by miracles, for example at Pentecost, but conversion and new birth could only take place by the power of God through his word and through his spirit. What did the miracles do in the early part, in the early days of the church? Well, again, the miracles gave credit and authority to those that were preaching. The Apostle Paul and Barnabas, they were preaching at Iconium. And Luke says this, God gave testimony to the word spoken by them and granted signs and wonders by their hand. Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 2, concerning God's great salvation, says this, it first began to be spoken by the Lord, was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness with signs, with wonders, different miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. And it's quite interesting throughout the whole of the Bible that very often a new revelation of something was actually initiated or accompanied by some miracles. So, what about today? What about today? Does God perform miracles today? Does the Lord heal today? We all believe that God can perform miracles. The Bible is full of them. The God who made the universe can do in that universe whatever he pleases. He made it. He has the power to create the universe, and he can do in this universe whatever he pleases. He's powerful, he's in control, and he only acts in a way that's consistent with his attributes and with his character. That is very important for us to remember. He is all wise. God is all wise. His faithfulness in creation is shown by the uniformity and the regularity of his universe. Peter describes God as a faithful creator, a faithful creator. Now, life would be impossible for us if it were not for the uniform and unchanging laws of nature, the laws of the faithful creator. God made a covenant with Noah, and this was his covenant. While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. That was the covenant that he made with Noah. And that has been maintained throughout the whole of the history upon this earth. Farmers can sow seed in the springtime and know that the rains will come, and later the sunshine will come, and they're able to reap their harvest. The faithfulness, the uniformity and regularity of God's creation. Sometimes we come across natural disasters, and it may be that these natural disasters are a voice from God to people. Many have been affected by disasters. Some have come to the Lord, been led to the Lord as a result of such things happening. But what I would like to say about this particular issue is that the Lord generally does not perform natural miracles today unless there is a purpose for him to do so. He still has the power and the authority to do so. But the Lord will always act wisely, and his faithfulness in creation is shown by the uniformity and the regularity of his universe. Another question: does the Lord heal today? Does the Lord heal today? Way back in the book of Exodus, this statement was made: I am the Lord that healeth thee. I am the Lord that healeth thee. There's a title for the Lord: Jehovah Rapha. I am the Lord that healeth thee. Oh, we don't offend anybody by saying this. Doctors cannot heal. Doctors cannot heal. Any good doctor will tell you that. Doctors, nurses, surgeons, pharmacists, and many others can greatly help in the process of healing. And that's why it's very important for us to go to the doctor when we need him. But it's God that heals. It's God that heals. He still is Jehovah Rapha. There's a psalm that says this: we are fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully and wonderfully made. I told this story before, some here might have heard it. I went to the doctor a couple of winters ago and had a pretty bad cold, and usually Alice kind of, with a bit of TLC, can sort me out. It wasn't too bad for her that particular day. So I went to the doctor, he sounded me out, and he says, you're getting all, which I knew. And then he chatted away with other things, as he usually does, and he made a prescription, and he handed it to me, and I said, will that heal me? He says, no, that won't heal you. I says, well, why did you give it to me? He says, it's your own body that heals you. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. God is the healer. And when we're ill, we don't go to so-called miracle workers or even faith healers, not even one operating under a Christian banner. A so-called faith healer has never understood the nature and purpose of the biblical miracles, and neither are their results anything like the results of the great miracles of the Bible. When somebody is ill, is there anything that we as Christians can do? Many things, many things, and we should do. We can help, we can care, we can support, and most of all, we can pray. And the Bible exhorts us to keep on praying. Never stop praying. The Bible tells us that in the epistle by James. James says, "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much." And it's interesting that the context of that particular statement, the context of that is any sick amongst you? And James is exhorting people to pray for someone who is ill. Now, there are a lot of things about prayer that we don't really understand. But it's very, very important that we pray for things, particularly that the Bible tells us to pray for. We are obviously praying in the will of the Lord when we pray for things that the Bible tells us to pray for. And whatever the result, it's always important for us to remember it's not our prayer and it's not our faith that heals. It is the Lord that heals. He is still Jehovah Rapha. I thought I would conclude by saying a little bit about miracles of grace. Miracles of grace. Miracles of grace are occurring all over the world, even at this very moment. And we read one. We read about Matthew. The call of Matthew shows the Lord's power to transform a sinner to a saint. Matthew was a tax collector. As far as the Jews were concerned, he was the worst of the worst. Served their enemies, extracted taxes excessively, and made themselves rich. Publicans and sinners, a despised term in our New Testament. The Lord said to Matthew, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him, and his faith was demonstrated by his obedience to the Lord. The transforming power of the Lord Jesus did so much for Matthew. Matthew became an invaluable servant for the Lord. It's interesting that there's no record in our New Testament of Matthew ever speaking. He obviously wasn't a speaker. But at least four things could be highlighted about Matthew. Number one, he was one of only two disciples that were used by the Lord to write the gospel, Matthew and John. He was obviously a keen observer of what was happening, and he was an excellent recorder of events, and the Lord used him for that. He knew the Old Testament scriptures well. And so often, Matthew emphasizes in his gospel how the Lord Jesus fulfilled so many of the Old Testament prophecies. He was obviously guided by the Spirit of God, but he obviously knew them well. He introduced unsaved friends to the Lord Jesus. It was Matthew's way of confessing the Lord Jesus to others. And another thing about him, he was characterized by great humility. Great humility. It's interesting to compare the Gospels with some of the things concerning Matthew. When Matthew describes this event that we've just spoken about, he just says this: "It came to pass as Jesus sat at meat in the house." That's all that Matthew says. But Mark says something different. Mark says they sat at meat in his house, in Matthew's house. And Luke says this, Levi made him a great feast in his own house, in Levi's own house. When Luke and John record the names of the apostles, they simply say Matthew. That's all they say about him, Matthew. But Matthew says, Matthew the publican. Matthew never forgot his past. He never forgot what the Lord had done for him. Matthew the publican. And Mark and John, in writing about him, they did not expose Matthew's past. Matthew did it himself. He was a miracle of grace. And there are many of them in the Bible. The Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul, the chief of sinners, he says about himself. And God used the Apostle Paul to write so much of the New Testament. He was a miracle of grace. John Newton, a slave of slaves. And the grace of God met him. And he wrote that great hymn, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now. Let's never forget that every true believer, every one of us here, believers in the Lord Jesus, are miracles of God's grace. And never forget to appreciate it. We are only what we are because of the grace and the mercy and the kindness and the love. Our Father, we give to Thee our grateful thanks for the Lord Jesus, because we owe so much to Him, and we have been appreciating that this. Thank Thee for all that He accomplished upon the cross of Calvary. But we thank Thee in the day when we first came to know Him as a personal Saviour, and help us just to love Him more and to serve Him more. There are many of Thy people known to us, and so many others not known to us, and they are in need of Thy help and Thy blessing, particularly those who are very ill at this time, and we pray for such and commend them to Thee. And we ask that Thou wilt be with us during the rest of this day, and we trust that others may come and find the Lord Jesus as their Saviour and friend. Receive our thanks as we commit ourselves to Thee, giving me thanks in the Saviour's name. Amen. Amen.